records by the manager keeping watch over flocks at night. And well, the angel of dawn came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about him, and there was a roar of light. And the angel said, "Fear not,
for I bring
you good tidings, which will be
to
all people.
And unto you is born
a Savior.
In the city of David, a Savior.
Who is Christ the Lord.
So the story that you just heard is the Luke 2 version of the Christmas story. It literally is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. My dad read it to us for many years, gathered around him when I was a child at home, and our family would gather and we would read the Luke 2 Christmas story. So it blesses my heart to hear my grandsons and my grandchildren, my granddaughter reading the story, and to carry on that tradition of the kids knowing that story and reading it at Christmas as the girls did, the boys did. It just does a heart good. So I wanted to share that with you today. We talked last Sunday about O Come All Ye Faithful and about the importance of faithfulness to the house of God, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to what God has called us to. And we also shared about come and behold him. And to behold something, I looked up the definitions of behold, and it means to gaze upon, to look, to prophesy, provide, to mentally perceive, to contemplate with pleasure, have vision, see with attention, or observe with care. We began our year talking about 2020 vision, having our focus on Jesus, keeping a true focus, and it has been a year that it has really caused us to focus on God, focus on the gift that we received, the gift of salvation, the gift of life, but also to focus on those things in our life that are most important. And those are good health and family, and church and relationship and our community of faith and all of those things. And last Sunday I shared, before we did our communion service, just about how thankful that I am for those who have joined our community of faith or our church, or that have been connected to us this year and have been faithful in that journey. It is so vitally important to Dan and I to be able to connect with those people and to share our joys and our griefs and what this year has brought. And it's not been a perfect year, but we've made it and we persevered and we've got through and we did it together. And so we love all you guys and we thank you for joining in today, and thank you for being able to share a few things today with you in a little different format. And I just wanted you to hear a Merry Christmas from our house to yours. But as I was pondering and praying this morning and thinking about some things, the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And that truly is my prayer for 2021, is to behold him, to keep our focus on him, and to bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I'm just declaring and decreeing that God's going to do something amazing among us if we just keep our trust in him. But I wanted to read you the story out of Matthew chapter 2, and it's the different part of the nativity, the Christmas story. And although a lot of times we see the wise men and the shepherds all in the nativity together, it's pretty much probably the fact that the wise men did not show up at the same time as the shepherds, but they came to the house, the scripture said, where the young child was. And so I want to talk about some things that wise men do today, and that they saw a star in the east and they had come to worship him. In other words, they took their cue from the heavens and they saw the star, and when they saw what the heavens were declaring, it caused them to come to the house. But I want to read the story. It says out of Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where is the king? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem of the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when he had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they had saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And the scripture says, when they saw the star in the east, they came to worship him, to behold him. When they beheld, when they looked on him, when they saw heaven's display, they followed it. I found it interesting that there was the coming together of two of the constellations, which, you know, even the news said looked like possibly the Star of Bethlehem, and maybe what would have been in the heavens in that time. And I thought, as we were talking about that and focusing it and saw different pictures where people had posted the star and how beautiful it was, and yet where we were, we couldn't see it. It was obscured by clouds, and there was something had blocked our vision to keep us from seeing it. But no matter what, the star was still there. Just because I couldn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't there. You know, there are times in our life when we're looking to the heavens for the answers, or are listening for God to do miracles and to show up. And sometimes we don't see it, but just because you don't see it doesn't mean that God's not there. Doesn't mean he's not working. It doesn't mean that there's not a miracle in progress. And so they were looking for heaven's display, and that's what they followed. Man, has it been a year or a time where we need to look to see what heaven is saying, and be guided by the heavens and not be guided by what's happening in the earth, what's happening in the earth, and the things that we see around us, because we take our cue from heaven. And so, you know, Herod was only a substitute for a real king. He was a counterfeit. People are looking for the real deal. They don't want counterfeit. They don't want display. They don't want smokes and mirrors and lights. They want presence. They want encounters. They want reality. And that's what I want. That's what I desire. It's not just to talk about Jesus. I want to encounter him. I want to be in the house where he's at. I want to worship him. Jesus traded his kingly robes for swaddling clothes. I thought about that as I was thinking this morning about it's a big deal right now to do Christmas PJs. And original Christmas PJs, I guess, looked a whole lot like swaddling clothes. Or the original Christmas wrapping paper looked a whole lot like swaddling clothes. Wasn't fancy, wasn't sparkly, didn't glitter. It was a humble beginning in a manger. And so, if we keep our focus on the heavens, we can see the true star in the earth, and we behold him in everything. And I believe that's something that we need to develop, that we can be able to see God in everything, through everything. God, what are you doing right now in this season, in the earth, in this day? What are you saying to us, and where are you leading us? Because I want to follow and be led by what he is doing right now. And it says that they brought him gifts. And I believe that there were some things that wise men do. And one of the things that wise men do is they bring gifts. They presented gifts. They are givers. They didn't come to receive from this king. They come to give to the king. And I always think about, in Christmas and things like that, gifts are my least favorite part about Christmas. I love to be a giver, but I'm not worried about the gifts under the tree because I truly value health. I truly value family. I truly value relationships. And those things are gifts to me. Those are the things that are precious. And so it's not about the gifts, but I do believe God puts a demand on us as a gift, and that we are gifts, and that we are gifted, that God has gifted us with many treasures and talents and abilities, and He places us in the house, and He places vessels of honor in the house, and those vessels, you know, inside of us, the scripture says, in us, there is a treasure hidden in an earthly vessel, and I believe God wants to open us up as a treasure chest, and to pull and to draw on the giftings of the body of Christ that are in us, because we truly have something to give to the King. And when we give our time, our talent, our treasures, our families, our focus, our love, our worship, when we give those things, we give gifts in a sense, as it were, to the King, just like the wise men did so long ago. And so to the greatest giver, the giver of life, the ones who that Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. God is a giver. God is a giving God. He loves to bestow gifts on His children. He's given us fivefold gifts. He's given us pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles, and He's given those gifts to the body. And just as He's given those gifts to the body, we also are gifts that can be poured out to others. And when you behold the King, I believe the scripture says that when the wise men brought the gifts, when they saw Him, when they beheld the King, when they focused on Him, they couldn't help but give. And they brought their treasures. They came with purpose to give to the King. It says that wise men came to the house. I believe that wise men in this season come to the house. And right now we're not gathering in the actual building that we call the house of God, but we know that anywhere that we gather, the scripture tells us where two or three are gathered together in His name, that there He'll be in the midst. God has not abandoned the church. He's not abandoned the building, but He is in the church. And we as the church form that house and come together as the house of God. Wise men bow down. I know that there's a certain amount of humility that comes when I think about the heavens and the stars and the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, the humility that comes that makes me want to bow down and just honor Him and just to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in my life, in my family, in our church, in our community. And you've not forsaken us, but you have great things in store, and we trust you. Wise men worship. I believe worship is a very important part of who we are. Worship is not just for Him, and it is to give worship to God, but I believe worship prepares our heart for what God wants to say to us. I believe that wise men present gifts, themselves as gifts. They present their offerings. They present gifts to their neighbor. Hopefully you've had somebody in this season that you've been able to minister to and be a gift to them and be a help to them. It's definitely an opportunity to bring encouragement to someone else. And wise men go another way. It said when they saw the child and being warned of God in a dream, they didn't go back to Herod's ways. They didn't report to earthly kings, but they went another way. And I believe that sometimes you gotta trust the journey. And I believe that 2020 has made us go another way. And I believe it's opened avenues and it's shifted some things. It's shifted some things in the earth and how we do things, how we do church, how we do school, how we do jobs. It's shifted some things. But I believe it's caused us to trust God in the journey and trust that He has taken us another way. And if He's leading the path, He knows how to open the doors that we need to open. And it keeps us focused on the star and the King. They presented to Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, talks about a beaten work and the articles that were in the tabernacle being they would beat the gold into the shapes that it would want it to be, and I believe the gold that the kings presented to Jesus speaks of the beating. It speaks of him being beaten for us. And frankincense, the bruising. If you're going to harvest frankincense, you're going to have to bruise the tree or wound the tree. And myrrh, the wounding of the tree, caused the droplets to form almost like drops of blood on a myrrh tree. And the crushing of those, the frankincense and the myrrh, the crushing made an ointment and a fragrance that's rare. The value of frankincense and myrrh, they bought to a 2-year-old baby and said, "We honor you as the king. We honor you." And when I think about that, Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sicknesses, our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace, the things that challenge our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." That gold, that frankincense and myrrh are the healing ointment, the balm of Gilead, the fragrance rare poured forth that Jesus is to us. And, Joseph took his family down to Egypt for a season because the king was in pursuit of the baby Jesus, was in pursuit of his family. And there's been some things that I think have been in pursuit of our families this year that have caused us to have to shift where we are, shift where we're going, and shift what we're doing. But the time would come that God would say, "What was trying to kill you is now dead, and it's behind it. Your adversary has no power over you." And so we declare to Herod in this season that those things are dead and they are behind you. And the child that has been anointed to be king, his purpose and his divine will come to pass in the earth. So I believe that we have to look up in this season, that the season is upon us. And as we look to heaven and we see the star in the east, and we behold, we come and behold him. We focus with attention, with listening ears, with a heart that is open that said, "God, where to now? Where are you taking us? What do you want to do in this season?" And whatever it is, let our hearts be open to you. Let our minds be so full of you that we begin to declare turnaround. And we begin to declare a season of hope and life and healing, and that you will bring in this season the miracle of life, because the heavens have the final word. The scripture said they saw the star in the east and they came and worship him. I don't know about you today, but I choose to keep my focus on the heavens. I choose to keep my focus on the manger and on the cross. And I choose to follow him and his leading. And as he challenges us to bring forth the gifts that he has made us to the body of Christ, that we present them to the king. And in presenting them to the king, he will work with those things that we trust him with. I want to pray with you today as we close out this service and we close out today. And I want to pray over you and pray over your families wherever you are and however you approached this day, whether full of joy. This season can be full of joy, can be full of sorrow or grief, or however you approached it, I believe that God can bring that healing ointment into your life and cause life to come. Turn your mourning into dancing and cause life and joy to spring forth. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that our trust is in you. Lord, that wherever we are in this season, Lord, that we are not without hope. That the God of hope would guide us in this season, Lord, that your star would guide us, that the heavens would speak louder than any earthly king, than any earthly sickness, pandemic, trial, any circumstance, Lord, that presents itself. Lord, we declare that the heavens are in charge and that our focus is going to be on you, and that we come and behold you in this season, Father. in Jesus' name, amen. Hey everyone, I want to just wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and just say to you, we love you, we thank you, and we want to wish you God's blessings and His greatest joys to you in this season of your life, in Jesus' name, amen.